So yesterday I'm watching University of Southwestern Louisiana Raging Cajuns win their 10th football game of the season, and the funniest commercial of 2020 I've ever seen came on. It was a commercial for Match.com, the dating website, and Satan was looking for a match. And all of a sudden on Satan's computer screen pops up this picture of this female. They finally meet. And he calls her by name, and she says, "You don't have to call me that. You can refer to me as 2020. I thought, that's really pretty funny advertising for Match.com. Satan's perfect match was 2020. Been a rough year. It's been a rough year on so many tiers, so many levels. And I won't even try to go into and discuss all of those. And we always look forward to the new year, don't we? And with that new year, there's this anticipation of change and hope and a bright new future. And we celebrate and we make out in Times Square, if you ever happen to make it to Times Square. And it's just a big festival. But the reality of December 31st becoming January 1st, the reality of that is it's basically just the calendar page flip, isn't it? It's no automatic reset. And as 20 comes to an end and 21 begins to unfold, masks are still going to be a thing. The virus is still going to be around. Politics and politicians are still going to be political and politicians. Joblessness is still going to be an issue. Lockdowns are still going to be discussed. Teachers are going to still have to moan and groan over synchronous and asynchronous. There you go. Exactly. These things are not going away just because December 31st gives way to January 1st. In fact, those things will probably continue to ramp up. And things like, do I take the vaccine and do I judge those that don't take the vaccine, or do I not take the vaccine and judge those that do take the vaccine, are only going to begin to emerge. Am I willing to have a vaccine identification card? Those kinds of things. What's a body to do? What's a body to do? And while there's nothing magical that happens at midnight on December 31st, it really is a logical line of demarcation to rethink and to reprioritize and to relook at and to reevaluate and to reexamine our personal lives, our spiritual journey, our church life, the church's journey, our community life, the community's journey. I want you to find the book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament. It's the fifth book in. We're going to talk this morning about God's people and how they faced a similar challenge several millennia ago. They have spent some time wandering in the wilderness here. And in Deuteronomy chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, Moses writes these words. "Then we turned back and set out toward the desert along the route of the Red Sea, as the Lord had directed me. For a long time, we made our way around the hill country of Seir. Then the Lord said to me, 'You have made your way around the hill country long enough. Now, turn north and give the people these orders. You were about to pass through the territory of your brothers, the descendants of Esau, who lived in Seir, and they will be afraid of you. But be very careful. Do not provoke them to war, for I will not give you any of their land, not even enough to put your feet on. I have given Esau the hill country of Seir as his own. You are to pay them in silver for the food that you eat and the water you drink. The Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hands. He has watched over your journey through the vast desert. These 40 years, the Lord your God has been with you, and you have not lacked anything.'" When I read this, I think of the two great dangers of the Christian life. Great danger number one is when you and I as believers in Christ try to get ahead of the Lord. It always ends poorly. But the other great danger is when then you or I, as followers of Christ, do nothing in pursuit of the Lord. That also always ends poorly. The people of the story were in a do-nothing mode. They had come cold and complacent. They had become lackadaisical. They kept going in circles, round and around and around. As we grow in grace and as we grow in knowledge, it is important for us to be able to discern the Lord's will in our life and to discern His presence in our life and to know where He is leading and what He is saying and how He is asking us as believers to respond to Him on a daily basis. But in our text, we find that God's people were simply wandering, simply going around in circles. And it's really sad because for the 40 years that is fixing to come to an end here, it is on the backside of 400 years of slavery in Egypt. And they were supposed to leave Egypt and go to the Promised Land, a journey that should have taken about 9 to 11 days. But here they are 40 years later because of their lack of faith and because of their unbelief and because of their disobedience, still walking around the same plot of ground over and over and over. Over. You know the definition of insanity, right? Mm-hmm. Yep. And finally, come to this place. And in this, the book of Deuteronomy, what is the book of remembrance, there's a message that comes to it and to the people. Enough's enough. You've made your way around this thing over and over and over again, and it's time for that to stop. Moses reminded this new generation of the people of God why their ancestors had wandered and why they had to die off in the wilderness rather than enjoy the blessings of the Promised Land. It was because of their unbelief when they failed to enter in. God said, "There it is, the land that flows with milk and honey. Cross the River Jordan. Take it. I'm giving it to you." But it wasn't a free gift. They were going to have to fight for it. But God was going to be with them. This was His promise. There were giants in the land, as the songwriter has said. They were going to have to overcome those giants. But the land was theirs. God was going to be with them. And when they assessed the situation, they stepped back and they go, "You know what? The price is going to be too high. The sacrifice is going to be too great. We're no longer in slavery anymore, so we'll just be in the bondage of aimless wandering. That seems to be better." They failed to go in, enter in, as the text would say. They wanted them to be a nation. They wanted them to be an example of the Lord for an unbelieving world, but they didn't take it. And so for 40 years, as you read the story of their wandering around and around and around and around, there are words that come up over and over and over again. Words like murmuring. Words like grumbling. Words like complaining emerge over and over and over in the 40-year wandering around the story. As you listen to your conversations and to your speech at the end of this year, do you find yourself murmuring against others? Do you find yourself groaning about how bad and miserable you have it? Do you find yourself complaining? Last Sunday, after we finished our time of worship together, I got in the vehicle and I went to Shreveport to spend Christmas with my dad. A couple days after Thanksgiving, my dad fell and he broke his hip. And he wound up with a severe infection. And before they could do the surgery, they also found out that he had COVID. And so my Christmas with my dad consisted of 5 visits over the period of 3 days where I stood and just looked at him in the window. I'd turn my phone on, I'd call him, and I'd set my phone on the windowsill, and we'd just chat about 15 minutes at a pop. My heart hurt, and my angst and anxiety was heavy when I pulled out on Tuesday. I literally had to pull my car off to the side in the parking lot and just weep for a minute. because of the sadness that flooded over me. Debbie took a picture of me standing there with my face pressed against the window. And I was going to post that and put it on Facebook, and then I was going to go off on this big diatribe about unfair and injustice and why is the world so mean and all that kind of stuff. But because wisdom is the better part of valor, and because I married a woman who said, don't hit sin, I decided to hold off on that. And you know what I've discovered during that time? Yes. My Christmas with my dad was sad. But when I look around at what some other people are going through and what some other people are dealing with and some of the other injustices and sadnesses and tragedies that have been thrust upon them through no fault of their own, I decided my plight really wasn't that bad. I could have chosen to make it all about me and my wound. But why? Why? My plight really isn't that bad. I'm called to be an example of the Lord to an unbelieving world. And murmuring and complaining and bemoaning all of the bad things that happened to me don't do anything to lift that up. Moses told the people, it's time. It's time to stop going round and round and round. It's time to move on. It's time to move forward. I would issue that challenge in your spiritual journey this morning. As we move from 2020 to 2021, I want you to begin to ask yourself the question, how do I move away from wandering from God's best and begin to move towards God's best in my life? Nothing magical happens December 31st, but it's a great time to recalibrate. Let's look at what happened here in the story. First, you and I need to hear the rebuke. The rebuke that came from God was, you've been making your way around this hill country long enough. You've been going in circles long enough. One of the saddest things in Christendom today is to see somebody who is on fire for the Lord and whose heart has been captured by Him. And one of the saddest things about the virus is how the virus has challenged that in so many people and how they have decided that, you know what, my faith really isn't strong enough to endure this, so I'm going to sit and soak and sour and wallow. We are to let our light shine brightly. We need to hear the rebuke from the Lord. Look, you've been wandering around in this long enough. It's time for you to get back on the path that I have for you. It's time for you to go out and take the promised land that I have for you. Even worse than those who have chosen to sit and soak and sour as a result of how 2020 has been is a believer who will decide to justify their behavior by using the God wants me to be happy or the God wants me to live my best life or the God is concerned more about my mental well-being, about my behavior. And so they simply choose to do whatever makes them happy and live in the moment for the desires of the flesh, and they will throw God's will completely away. We are reminded over and over and over in the Scripture that we are to deny ourselves. To follow Christ is to abandon self to Him. Look, none of us are perfect at this. Most of us, I would dare say all of us, aren't even very good at this. But this is the goal. This is the mission. This is the course. And so we need to hear the rebuke. And the rebuke is, you got to stop making your way around and around and around and around and around in the spiritual circle. The reason they spent the 40 years is because they wouldn't take the blessing. There was a better way that had presented itself, but they were going to have to fight for it, and they were afraid. There's a better way that is before you. It is the way of Christ. It is the way of the yoke. And it's a better way, but we fear that because it means we have to deny self. Don't be content to wander aimlessly in the Spirit in the new year. Don't choose wandering because wandering is safe and it is comfortable. Dare I use the word, maybe 2021 can be a year where you learn to pursue radical faith, radical obedience. I have a book on my desk that I've started. It's entitled The Insanity of Obedience. The title alone tells you really all you need to know. Obedience and abandonment to follow Christ is really insane from the world's perspective. It doesn't make sense. Because to abandon self is to follow Christ makes you weird in the world. Might as well not sugarcoat it, right? The world is counterintuitive to the things of Christ. We are in a post-Christian culture. The people weren't prepared to enter the promised land. The people weren't prepared for the battles and for the obstacles. And they'd rather just murmur and complain than receive what God had. God never promised that He'd give us all our wants, but He did promise to give us the things that we needed. So He can be trusted. And when you hear the rebuke of, you've been wandering long enough, don't think God is chiding you or being mean to you. He's completely not. The battles that we fight are fought so that we can enjoy the blessings that God would have when we possess whatever it is He's trying to get us to or wherever He's trying to get us to go. And we're promised that we will wrestle against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The struggle really is real. We are soldiers and ambassadors for Christ. So as we finish this week, and as we prepare for that calendar flip on December 31st, begin now preparing yourself and make a conscious choice through prayer, through Bible reading, through participation in worship, small group, that, you know what? My wandering's over. My wandering's over. Make it so. We read in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. All glory to God who is able through His mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. One translation says imagine. I don't know, I can imagine a lot. The scripture says that His power working within us is even greater than what we might even imagine. And so God's word to us today, as 2020 comes to a close and 2021 is upon us, you've wandered in circles long enough. Second, we need to understand the requirement. If we hear the rebuke, we need to understand the requirement. And the requirement is simple: change the direction. In verse 3, he said, You've made your way around this hill country long enough. Now turn north. Wait a minute. For 40 years, they've been going in circles, and all of a sudden, it's as simple as just moving in a different direction? That's what Moses said. Is that not, by definition, the nature of repentance? Moving in one direction with your life and deciding to repent and do an about-face with the other, moving in another direction with your life? That is the very nature of repentance. This is the requirement. If you want to stop this, then change your direction. Go in a different way. Change what you're looking at. Stop looking at the world. Stop looking at secular news. Stop listening to worldly people. Stop hanging out with friends who don't whisper gospel truths into your life and into your ear and don't give you gospel truth. Stop listening to your enablers of selfishness. You are who you hang around with. When I worked at Fruit of the Loom, there were 5,000 people in the plant. 3,500 of those worked in the sewing department. And the sewing unit was divided up into 88 teams. Each unit was a team of 88 people. There were 7 different steps involved in taking the material and getting it sewed together and inspected so that it could be sent for packaging. In the 4-plus years that I was there, this one truth never changed. The efficiency and the personality and the disposition of each of those individual units always rose to the level of their direct supervisor. If the person who is responsible for that unit was eager and energetic and positive and upbeat and can do, that unit performed at the highest efficiencies. If the supervisor of that unit was something different, that unit always performed to the level of the supervisor of that unit. It was an amazing phenomenon to watch. And if you wanted to change the unit, you had to change the direction, or the supervisor of that unit had to change their direction. It was amazing to watch units change as supervisors got more training, got more comfortable with their position, made conscious business decisions on how to deal and interact with people. You could be the greatest sewing machine operator on the planet, but if you had no people skills, your unit wasn't going to be successful. It was an amazing thing to watch. And it simply just required a change in direction, a new course. If you don't look to the Lord, you're never going to know what He'd have for you to do. You're never going to have the inner confidence that we talked about in Ephesians chapter 3. In Isaiah chapter 6, we have this wonderful passage of Scripture where Isaiah has this encounter with the Lord. And Isaiah's entire encounter took him in different directions. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 through 7. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of His robe filled the temple. And above Him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, with two they were flying, and they were all calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with His glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the threshold shook. The temple was filled with smoke. "Woe is me," I cried. "I am ruined. I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." One of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And with it he touched my mouth, and he said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt has taken away, and your sin is atoned for." Isaiah decided that he was going to look upward, and he saw the Lord sitting high on His throne, and he saw the train of the Lord filling the temple. You got to look up first and see Him. But Isaiah also looked inward. "Woe is me. I'm undone. I'm unclean. The people that I'm hanging out with are unclean. My eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." But then you have to look outward. Verse 6 says, "I also heard the voice from the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send and who will go for us?' And then He said, 'Here I am. Send me.'" The truth is, none of us are worthy of the blessing of the Lord. But He's desired to bless us all because He's desired to build His kingdom. And as we find His blessing and we take those blessings and share those and pour those out to other people, the kingdom around us has changed and looks different. I believe that the South Belt community will only rise to the spiritual depth of the churches that are in the community. Turn northward, they say. Turn northward. Change your direction. Heed the call. Round and round and round in circles. Understand the requirement. Stop. Go another way. Look up to the Lord. Look into yourself. Look out to those that are around you. Did you hear what happened in the story? It wasn't going to be easy. He said, "You're going to go to the land that I have given to Esau." This is basically telling the Jews you're going to walk through Palestinian territory. Tread lightly. Don't go to war with these people. Be shrewd. And it's going to cost you. You're going to have to pay for the stuff that you eat. I've been providing manna for you in the wilderness for 40 years. Now you're going to have to figure out how to survive on your own. Except I'm going to be with you. You have to put your faith into action. He says, be careful. Not only do you need to depend on me as you go through this, but you need to do some self-examination. Deny yourself. Don't make mess with the people of Esau. If you do, I won't even give you a plot of ground as big enough as your feet. We're told over in the New Testament that we have to be very careful about how we look and judge others. The Israelites would judge Esau because Esau was lesser to them. And God said, don't you do it. Jesus tells us in the New Testament that we remove the log from our own eye before we start taking the speck out of somebody else's eye. The requirement is to change the direction, and following other people or judging other people in our new direction is not part of the course. We look upward, we look inward, we look outward. Paul writes to the church at Corinth, chapter 6, verse 16 and 17. And what union can there be between God's temple and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will live in them and I will walk among them. I will be their God and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from among them. Come out from among them. Come out from the unbelievers. Separate yourself from them. This is what the Lord says. Don't touch their filthy things, and I will welcome you. Oh my, we have to stop and we have to have a conversation about what are filthy things. Well, of course, any of the big ten, right? Lying, murder, adultery, coveting, certainly those would be filthy things. But there are other filthy things that we typically don't address. Greed, sexual recklessness, loose morals, political correctness, tribalism. But some of the most dangerous would be self-indulgence, self-preservation, self-gratification, self-promotion. We live in a world that says all of those self things are good things, but the scripture says all of those self things are filthy things. When we take part in the sins of the world, we cannot be walking by faith. We're always finding fault with others. We cannot be walking by faith. If we cannot see our own biblical shortcomings in our life, we cannot move in a new direction, because we have to be walking away from something if we're walking towards something better. So what do? Well, we hear the rebuke. You've been wandering too long. Understand the requirement. Change the direction and then heed the reminder. And I want you to pay special attention to Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 7. You need to underline this. You need to commit this to memory. This is a great, great verse. It is a verse for encouragement and hope. And it is a verse that I think should be in your arsenal as you move into 2021. Hear it. For the Lord your God has blessed you in everything you've done. Wait a minute. I've been wandering for 40 years. That's right. And you've always had food. And He's protected you. And He's guided you with a pillar of fire by day or by night and a cloud by day. There's been manna. On the weekends, there's been double portion. Oh, you're not rolling in it. You're not getting out your Maybach. But you've been blessed. I have been with you every step of the way. They experienced the favor of God. Verse 7 continues. He has watched your every step through this great wilderness. Wow. The scripture tells us that His eyes on the sparrow. Because His eyes on the sparrow, He's watching you. The scripture tells us that the very hairs on your head are numbered. If He takes the time to number those, which is always changing, He's certainly able to watch you. During these 40 years, the Lord your God has been with you. The favor of God, the protection of God, the presence of God, look how it ends. And you have lacked nothing. There is a sufficiency in God. There is a sufficiency in God. My friends, you don't have to keep going in circles as a believer. There's more to your life than a circular spiritual journey. There's more to your life than making just a little bit of progress and then feeling like life's let you down and falling backwards. We don't have to keep going around in circles as a church. Nothing magical happens at midnight on December 31st. But it is so possible for each of us as we approach that to begin maybe with prayer and maybe with fasting maybe with scripture reading, to hear what the Lord is saying. And that is, in 2021, you don't have to keep going round and round and round. You are going to have to change a direction. You are going to have to make a change in your life, and you're going to have to fight for that new direction to get traction. But you also need to understand the promise, and that is, you got all you need. For I will be with you, he says, wherever you go. What a great promise for moving into 2021. He will be with you wherever you go. Would you decide during this time of invitation to stop wandering? Would you decide during this time of invitation to ask God to guide you in a new direction? Would you worship God and thank him for the fact that you have always had all you need and that he will continue to provide such? Lord Jesus, we thank you for the lessons that we have learned in a very trying year. We thank you for the lessons that will continue to unfold before us, and that as we seek new direction in our life, you will be with us. You will go before us and prepare the way, just like you did for the nation of Israel. Father, help us to heed the truth that you are always with us. When we are on fire for you and when that fire has died, you are with us. When our love for you exudes with every beat of our heart, and when our love for you is questioned with every hour of every day, you are with us. When we are walking in Christ's righteousness that he gave to us at that moment in conversion, and we are wandering the path of sin, you are with us. And you offer us yourself at any moment we choose to re-engage and to stop our wandering. May this begin the process of that journey in so many of our lives. We pray in your great name. Amen.